Zabbix thing.
Did it make you hard, baby?
It did. I had to go through. I mean, we should talk about it because that there's the way that they handle IDs in there is a total mess. I did the same thing on Grafana, but I did add a trigger on it, and I also added some version catching and some other stuff. So I did some basic work, and then I realized I don't really care about that. But
oh, you added stuff. I said, just tell me what.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams. Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams. Increasingly frustrated by Zabbix configuration, by the sound of things. How are you doing, fellas?
We're not frustrated. We're jiving, man.
You're just jiving. Just jamming.
We're jamming.
It's like jazz, isn't it? You know, your Zabbix configuration. It's very free-flowing. People drop in and out. They contribute what they need to. Then they move on. Always
that is the key word, what they need to. It's like, I need this thing, so I'm going to add it and fuck the rest. That's what I do anyway.
Is there anything but necessity and creativity? I ask you that.
Bare minimum.
Is there anything but the bare minimum in late-stage capitalism? Fucking no, there is not. Lovely stuff. Love to see it. What have you fellas been up to then?
Oh, you know, just fucking recovering nodes, you know.
Just recovering nodes. Not much. Yeah, it's honest work.
It's a testnet shit show today, wasn't it?
Watching people wake up to fucking upgrades, proceeding to not do them for hours.
To not do them. Exactly.
Sensational.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I can only hang out for an hour this morning. So, you know, if you've got any burning questions, just get them out of the way.
Why can you only hang out for an hour this morning?
I need to go into the big city and test some fiber with the fiber man.
Oh, did they lay it?
Hey.
Did they actually finish your little connection, right? They're trying to get like a connection back and forth?
So they have all the cross connects are done, and they said their side's patched in and my side's patched in, but there's no like talkie-talkie. So either I have the wrong SFP or there's a problem with the cross connect somewhere. So we're going to figure that out.
Does it the data center?
Yeah.
At the data center, yes.
The little lady's not going blinky-blinky?
Yeah, it's kind of a...
No, there's lots of like confusion around what the equipment required is. I asked them straight up what I needed to talk to their stuff, and they just like, they told me I needed a 1000 base T LR, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right for like a 10 gig connection.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, whether it's single mode or multi-mode, bit of confusion. I told the guy yesterday that I had a single mode SFP, and he's like, oh no, man, you need full duplex. I'm like, you're a fiber guy, right? That's two different things. So yeah,
totally two different things.
Yeah. So I don't know. We're going to go and like, you know, just look at it and kick the tires today and try to get it working.
Are you bringing a bucket full of parts?
I would, except I don't really have like a good stock of SFPs. SFPs are the only things I need.
Sorry, what the fuck is an SFP?
It's like a little module that goes in a little cage that you plug the fiber into. So it's like SFP can be many different forms of connection. Like it can be fiber or copper, or it just converts the little cage into something that you need. So instead of having like a Cat 6 cable plug into the switch, it's like a little cage that you plug in a module that will convert it to what you need. When I say cage, it's just a hole in the box. It's a slot.
It's called a small form factor pluggable. So basically it's like a converter that you can use different types of fiber connections. You can use an Ethernet connection. It just allows,
I think it's just wonderful we live in such a tolerant society that you can just talk about your kink in public like this. I mean, it's fucking great. It's a lot of progress.
Full swappable.
You put your transceiver in there.
You go all the way downtown to have a full day just exercising your rights as a private citizen.
Lovely they stuff. Are necessary because there's so much diversity in transceivers. So
there is.
You could have the thing with fiber is if you have, say you got a 40 kilometer module but your run is only 10 kilometers, you'll burn out the module on the receiver side on the other side eventually because it's just too bright for it. So you got to match the length and the mode and all that type of stuff. So you can't just have, you like, otherwise you'd be ordering a switch and you go, oh, in slot one, I want 10 kilometers and slot two, I want 40. You just don't know. So it's just to give you diversity in the same switch. Anyhow,
I mean, that sounds sexy. It sounds wonderful.
It's a whole thing.
I'm super happy for you. You know, to finally be able to talk about this publicly at your age after a lifetime of hiding. You know, I'm just really stoked for you, dude.
I didn't hide anything.
Cool. Well, yeah.
We're a man down today. The sleepless man. He's probably trying to stare at the back of his eyelids at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're never really awake and you're never really asleep at that point when you're like 10 weeks in. I just remember a long tunnel. Like, you know, if you ever blacked out on a roller coaster, it's kind of like that. Your vision's just sort of narrowed.
You know, I just got drunk the other day and had a bad sleep and I was like wrecked the next day. So
you're going to have that for the next year at least. Yeah. It's going to be one.
Like, I can only imagine what it's going to be like from now on.
I think the thing is, like, you need to go back. You can go back and watch. I think I missed one game of Nodes because the little guy was literally being born. Like, if you want to see what you've got in store, you can go back and you can see a guy trying to handle doing this at like 10 o'clock his time on no sleep. Oh yeah. We've live streamed the emotional crisis that comes when you have your first. We've done that. That's in the can. That's already done. That content's already been created. No,
we're going for it.
You can check it. You can check it, and you can go, God, I don't want to be that guy. That guy's a fucking asshole. And be like, yeah, that's going to be you in a couple of weeks. I mean, sure, yeah, it's too wholesome to take it out on anybody else. But God,
I can't pull out of being that guy. That guy's on the way.
That guy's like Omar in The Wire. Omar coming.
And, Omar coming.
Omar coming. Omar coming. It's that's basically how it goes. Yeah.
You'll be fine.
It will be fine.
We're going to the beach to go and contemplate our decisions this weekend and stare off into the abyss.
Oh, like a baby moon.
One last time. This would be like the third baby moon, I guess. We've done like
just get up every week.
Yeah, like we've done a few.
We literally went an hour on the train to the furthest place that was like vaguely not where we live that we could be bothered to go to. That was really quick to get to. Got an Airbnb and just ate pizza. That's what we did. Like, it was like a week before the guy arrived as well. We just got to get out of the house. It's good to call it. Like, they were like, what do we do there? I don't know. There must be pizza, right?
Something.
There'll be pizza. And we could watch we could watch a film on Netflix or something.
I can just imagine you on the train ride.
Nah, not that.
One last time.
trains aren't that exciting when they're like the main method of intercity travel in your country. They're just like a way of
life. You weren't on the country train. You were just like on the city line.
We were just out into the country, so it's not a particularly exciting train. It's just like the most efficient way of getting somewhere.
You know, so you guys are good. So what are you doing? You guys are creating a short list of names. Don't pick a name, right? You're just creating a short list. Is that the idea?
Yeah. So we have Juno, a short list.
Say Injective, Luna. You know, all the classic cool names.
Yeah.
You know, like all the traditional names. They like to go old school in Casa Nullo.
We'll maybe narrow it down to a few, I suppose.
Name a peg
steed.
name a pego. So you just like,
you really shout through the house. Fucking pego.
Pego. Actually, pego's been, I've not had a problem with pego for many months.
You're going down.
Hey?
Maybe it's just down.
Pego is a good boy now.
It's been down the whole time.
All my monitoring nuked, and I just don't know about it.
Like Kajira.
Been jailed for months. Kajira, I don't know. I'm just running that thing into the dirt. I've set those nodes onto autopilot. So
if they don't bother me, I don't bother them.
I'm like, I'll keep running this thing at a loss. Just don't change anything. Just leave it. how it is right now.
Or I will unbond you.
So Rama in the chat is saying, I remember when the show was about running and talking about validating. Now it's just complaining about babies. How far we've fallen. Well, that is market conditions right there, right?
How far are we validating to be done right now?
There isn't a lot of validating. Like there's just like, I mean, you can run on a treadmill trying to pick up Cosmos shit chains, but you know, you're just exit liquidity. Like it's not worth worrying about it too much at the moment would be a summary of that. I've spent the last five, I got very cocky, right? I have a deadline, for this fucking paper that I've been doing for ages. I need to get a draft in. And I thought, because I've been doing transcriptions of like musicians talking about, well, music for like 15 years, it'd be super easy to just do these transcriptions. It'd be fucking easy peasy. But like if you do a 45-minute tape with like some band talking about a new album, right? They say like 5 minutes of good shit in 45 minutes, and the rest of it is just like Spinal Tap level gibberish. So you don't actually have to transcribe fucking shit. Like, so I, in my head, I was like, oh, 45-minute tape, that'll take like an hour to transcribe, no worries. And so I've done like, you know, node operator interviews, right, with node ops and Cosmos and beyond. Cool. But they say 45 minutes or 30 to 45 minutes of clever shit. Like, and also in an academic context, you have to transcribe everything because it's important to have the context and you can't like false. So it's, you know, it looks like somebody can look at it and go like, yeah, this actually looks like it is a legit transcript rather than you've just picked the fucking best bits. Like it has to have like the coherence of a voice to be plausible and admissible as evidence, right? Just transcribing 45 minutes of somebody talking where you have to be really careful about getting right exactly word for word what they say takes fucking ages. Like I don't know, I went into it so cocky and I'm just, oof.
So aren't you using a tool for that? Like are those being actually transcribed? Like is it
I'm transcribing by hand, man.
Why the fuck would you do that? Why don't you just have like one of the, wherever you use like Zoom or Meet or whatever else, just do a transcribe it?
Because that would be against
accurate
ethics. You can't it can't go into a third, you violate privacy laws if you put any of the data into a third party. So I record everything with external recorder, transcribe and delete, so the audio is gone.
Some AI, my guy.
I don't think it actually does that, but okay.
Yeah, probably not. But you can. Well, you can't. You're not permitted to use it. And
who's, you're not permitted to use it, or who's not permitted to use it? Like when you call your bank, like they're recording that conversation, right?
Yeah, sure. But they have like a legal team that have signed off that. When you do research. The reason my ethics process took 6 months to sign off was because there's sensitive data and there's commercial and personal risk involved potentially at a data leak. So the things I have to do with every piece of data that's come out of this work is like really, really specific and really, really, like I have to basically turn around the transcripts in like 24 hours and then delete the source audio.
Jeez.
That's the terms that I was able to get through the ethics board was that I can do like, because that was the question, was like, how are you possibly going to be able to do a transcript and get rid of the source data in a reasonable time so that it's not potentially just sat around? And I was like, well, I've been a journalist for 15 years. I can transcribe things quickly, no worries. And then I've done these interviews, transcriptions are done, but it was an absolute death march and I'm totally exhausted.
Are you like, is it word for word or are you summarizing?
Word for word. Word for word with a slight caveat to that. So if you were transcribing somebody talking like normally for journalistic purposes and they just like, let's say have a verbal tick, they go like, you just get rid of all of those, right? Obviously. And unless there's some reason that it would be important to the flow of the conversation or their account that you leave in, like a particular verbal tick, like the word, you know, is really common. Like loads of people just throw, sure, you know, and you know, and you know, you know, but you, yeah, you probably delete 99% of those because they're not meaningful and they're not pertinent. But like if somebody maybe started a sentence with it when they were going to make a significant point, if you were doing it for journalistic reasons, you might leave that in because it reads better or it reads more authentically. But yeah, in this case, it's a bit different. You leave everything in, except when, if they have a verbal tick that is super unusual and it really identifies, like it's a pattern that would be identifiable if you were just scanning over some, you know, transcript of them in another scenario. then it maybe is like a slightly identifying data point. So I actually ended up going through and, where I could, deleted verbal habits that the interviewees had. It's really like when you transcribe a 3,000 words of somebody talking, even if people say like something very relatively occasionally in their conversation, you can guarantee it will crop up in multiple answers to questions. Or, you know, if you are having a conversation, particularly on a technical especially like something like Cosmos, right? So you're talking about tombstoning would be a great example, right? Validator will just go like, oh yeah, well, you know, you have an upgrade and then you have a tombstone and blah, blah, blah. And you have to obviously interject at that point and say, sorry, can you just clarify the term you just used? What is a tombstone? So you're quite often prompting people in that kind of way. And so if they do have a verbal tick that they, you know, habitually do when, say, they're answering a question, you have so many of these little interruptions that they quite often just come out, I think, more than they would do in everyday conversation. And so, yeah, I had to kind of go back through and clean those before I was done. Because there are a couple where there are people who they do actually do it quite a bit. And when you're kind of like, you know, this is going to be an aggregated data set, but if you just flick through it, you're just gonna be like, well, those are obviously all the same person.
Yeah.
Because like they keep saying like, therefore, or something. Imagine fucking loads of people say that, but the word therefore is not a verbal tick. That's a bad example. Whatever, man. You know, nobody else in the world says therefore, but one guy said therefore all the time and you totally know it's him.
Yeah. That's fucking miserable, dude.
Yeah, there's this one guy who just said yinza all the fucking time. And I was just like, I've got to delete that shit because for the record, sorry, if anybody's listening who actually
fucking pinpointed
cares about these things, there is nobody in the tapes that said yinza. I have not revealed personal or identifying data or compromised the research ethics of the study that I'm doing. That was just a joke.
Thank you.
Just a joke.
Well, I did try to spread the news a little bit, so I'm not sure if any of those actually came through. I saw somebody said that they were going to do it, at least one. That might have been today. So if you got any today, that was good. So hopefully, did you get your number yet or no, not yet?
Yeah, in the original collection.
You got your 20 or whatever minimum?
The target number that was like the minimum bound. Yeah. So although, you know what, to be honest, I was very down on the idea of doing audio interviews. I thought that a survey with just some hard numbers just to back up some points about upgrades, how they happen, stuff like that would be fine. Yeah. And it was other people in the department, my supervisor and stuff, that were like, while you have access to this community, get some audio in the can and just go through the ethics and it will be a fucking dog's dinner. I'm heavily paraphrasing. These are all very polite, very normal people who don't say things as harshly as I do.
But you're not... But you're not getting, I mean, you're getting a transcript in the can and then you're deleting the audio, right?
Oh yeah, sure. But like the point is they're like, this is an opportunity to get something that other people don't have access to. Get it in the can. And, you know, to be fair, the one thing that they did, you know, say, which is true, and I know from years of writing about rock and roll, is that if you get somebody on the end of a phone, you always get more, if you ask the right question or if you have the confidence to follow up on a good point or, when somebody sort of says an aside and you say, sorry, can you just like elaborate on that? You always get more than you bargained for. And if you speak to intelligent people, you get intelligent stuff that's very different from how you would think about a thing and opens new things up. Like it's always an interesting process. Interviewing in general is just like a very fascinating thing. I've always found it fascinating to do articles and stuff in that way. And
Peter, that's great.
We do this podcast every week, right? So it was super surprising to me because we've talked to a lot of people. We obviously talked to a lot of validators informally. I used to do validator communications for Juno and the dev communications of a whole bunch of other stuff. Like it's not like I haven't been around the block here, but it did surprise me how much information came out of just, you know, the process that's just happened in terms of things that have changed my perspective on a few different things. I think it's been really interesting.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I was kind of thinking you were going to get what you expected. So I'm glad you're finding some, at least some data points or some things that are not as you expected.
Yeah.
Not that you came in with a hypothesis, but you definitely came in with some of this data in the back of your head.
Expectations.
And some expectations of how those things. And I think I answered that survey exactly along the lines of those expectations. So, but I'm glad that you found ones that were at least slightly different.
Yeah, I think the survey stuff in particular kind of came out roughly how one would expect.
Conversations did not.
I would say generally speaking, right, the tenor and content of this podcast is actually pretty representative of how validators have spoken in a private anonymous setting where there is a kind of strong, hopefully, reason to be very, very candid and frank and whatever, because it's, you know, this is research and it's research that's going to inform potentially, you know, the future design and architectures of these systems in the future, right? So a lot of the content will not surprise a viewer of this podcast or a listener to this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, it's technical people at the end of the day, so there's no sugarcoating. But there is there's a spread of opinions on like the maturity of where we are, the maturity of the systems, the social technical stuff, the governance, proof of stake itself, like crypto, its use cases. And you know, some of that stuff is actually just, you know, that's part of having a semi-structured conversation. It's not actually material to some of the things that are on those tapes are not material to the research. They just come out in the conversation.
Those topics weren't even in the survey.
Yeah, they're not even get cited, but yeah, they're just there. But it's still interesting when you've had to transcribe it, right? It goes into your brain very strongly because you've had to literally type out every single word that somebody said. So I think more than maybe when you just have a conversation with somebody, you really have the time when you're going through that process to think quite hard about the points that other people have made and think, oh, okay, well, if I had another conversation with that person, what would I ask them about their opinion on this that we didn't quite get to there, or, you know, whatever. I think it's been a really interesting process. And I think actually I'm not quite sure how I'd say it. There's something about my kind of general general opinion on where we are in the crypto space that I think has been a little bit shifted by having done the interviews and transcriptions and stuff. Like, I think my bearishness on proof of stake hasn't changed. But I have just some very, very interesting and frank conversations that have gone into that have, like, I think reminded me of, like, you know, when we first started working in this space in the Cosmos ecosystem, like the structure and shape of the Cosmos, of IBC, of the energy that was in the development of this ecosystem in like 2021, let's say, like, as a reminder of like, okay, a lot of that energy ended up going kind of to waste. Like, the things that were built were actually not much COP in the end, in a lot of cases. But you can just try again and build something better. And some people don't want to learn lessons and build something better, and that's fine. That's whatever, man. They can do whatever they want to. It's their life. But actually, there are going to be some things here, I think, you know, and it might not be in the Cosmos exactly. It might be successor to blah, 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 all the things we talked about. But I don't know. Yeah, I've come out of the whole thing a little bit more positive about a few things, certainly about the future state of development of use cases.
Well, that seems like that's a totally separate topic than what you asked about. And the
that's what I mean. It's completely orthogonal to anything that's about my work. But I think what I'm saying is interesting is, like, done what we needed for the paper, but on a personal level, I've come out of it as an engineer going, like, yeah, actually, like, I don't feel all the effort we've put in is a complete waste. I think we've still not got it. But
yeah, right,
like, well, yeah, and I think, you know, I think people are still very focused very, very hard on solving the wrong problems, but there's actually a lot more, I have a lot more optimism, I think, at the end of this process than I did at the beginning in terms of what can be built by thoughtful people on top of what we've already done, I guess, if I had to summarize. So,
nice. Speaking of the wrong solutions, before Null leaves, I want to hear about I want to hear about this injective staking rebate campaign. Did you see that?
I did see it. Yeah.
So what it is, it's from the Injective team. I don't know who Vivian is, but it's from the Injective team. I think this is public knowledge, or at least it's within the validator set. But Injective is launching an exciting staking rebate campaign during Token 2049, which is next week. I forget. It's coming up, right? 17th, something like that. This initiative is designed to increase staking activity on the Injective network, which I don't know. I didn't even look and see what the staking activity looks like on Injective. And we're inviting validators to sponsor commission rebates and be featured in our booth's cash grab machine. So there's an actual cash grab machine in the Injective booth at Token. The campaign will be hosted in person at the Injective booth. So why join? Boost your staking volume, attract stakers by offering commission rebates. No end date, just commission rebates. Stand out, gain visibility at Token by getting featured in our booth, increasing your validators' exposure, and engage the community. Demonstrate your commitment to the Injective network. Demonstrate your commitment to the Injective network and strengthen your connections with the community. If you're interested in learning more, please reach out. You going to do that?
I mean, I reached out to the team to find out some more information about the specifics of this.
Like, what is it?
Program. Yeah, I haven't received a reply yet. So, but yeah, I mean, it's...
Has there ever been a staking a rebate like this done by a team or foundation that you guys have been a part of?
No, but it is quite common with institutional staking rebates on commission. So,
meaning like if somebody's going to stake with us and you have a whale, then behind the scenes you say, "Hey, I'm going to send you 1% of this back."
Well, people do it, but I've never seen it instantiated by a team before that I can remember seeing.
Are there like Token 2049 is a trade show, right? There's not gonna be loads of degens there, number one. Like, and like, who's the it's kind of breaks my brain a little bit. Like,
I think that is just when they are announcing it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of just like, because that's the thing, it's like an open-ended process after that. So you're committing to lose money for a longer period of time for like what, maybe a couple of hundred, like, well, it'd be like a couple of thousand eyeballs during the conference maybe, but like focus people that actually see your validator's name and interact with it, probably like sub 100 if that. And they're not exactly going to be like, they might find it fun, but like your chance of business developing your way into bagging a whale because they do a little cash grab thing seems unlikely.
Plus, it's
our space is silly, but like the people with the big pockets are probably not going to pick their validator based on that.
And like, it's a hassle, right? Like,
doing the rebate is, I just hope it's not a, just hope it's not like a thing where they make a platform and then validators compete on a rebate, because then it's just going to be a race to zero, which is why we have fucking minimum commission to begin with.
Yeah. Why just get rid of minimum commission?
Yeah.
Like why hold this 5% if you're going to sponsor a commission rebate, just make it 0%. If somebody wants to run 0%, they can run 0% and put their name in this cash grab booth. Like, I don't know,
oddly passive aggressive, doesn't it?
I don't know if the cash grab booth is like that related. I think it might just be there's a cash grab booth, do you want to sponsor it, and then there's this commission rebate thing on the side.
Will be featured in our booth's cash grab machine, which means your logo is floating around in there with a 2% discount on it or something.
Is that how it works?
I don't know, that's what it says. It says we're inviting validators to sponsor commission rebates and be featured in our cash grab machine. Featured in the cash grab machine, to me, either means your logo's on the outside of it or your shit floating around, you got to grab it, and then somebody grabs a paper, Null has to get your wallet address so he can send you 1% back and calculate it for the rest of his life.
I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't shit on it. I remember having some ice cream at a conference that very positively made me reflect on the Rhino brand.
It didn't. That was good ice cream, though. And it didn't require me, but there's no minimum ice cream levels. Like, I didn't break any like chain laws here around. Like, I don't understand. Yeah, I understand having a 5%.
Did you have to do a rebate to all your stakers in order to pay for the ice cream?
It's got a Nakamoto of 5. Is it 5? Where are we? 33% is 6 vals. six vowels make up 33 and 22 out of 60 make up 67%. And then you're going to do a, I hear the idea here is that it's designed to increase staking activity on the injective network. I don't know what's meant by that.
I don't know whether they mean there's not enough tokens to stake.
Yeah. There's not enough tokens.
Look, if we go back to 2021, it's already solved. Towards 2022, whenever the fuck it is, we started this podcast. We solved this problem already, right? We said, make an anti-handler. If your validator goes over whatever it is, the chain size divided by validator's percentage plus 3%, the anti-handler goes, your transaction to restake is rejected. Try another validator. It's like 10 lines of code and no Cosmos chain.
They will listen
to our podcast. Everybody listens to this podcast. So it's not like this idea hasn't been out there for a long time.
This has nothing to do with the VP though. This has nothing to do with that. This is purely, and none of these top, what, like, why would any of these?
They're not even talking about distribution of stake. They're just talking about, we want more tokens bonded. If they want more tokens,
they want more tokens bonded.
Like,
are they though? Or they just want people to like,
that's an inflation.
Do more staking, like stake and unstake and restake and move stake. I don't know what the goal is here.
That's true.
If they just want more people interacting with the chain, or
this initiative is designed to increase staking activity.
Staking activity.
What the, like, I assume that would
be. Tell us what you mean. Define your terms.
I don't understand why that is a metric that the injective team would be wanting to care about. Like, either people stake them or they don't. There's plenty of security on the chain. So,
but I mean, I would assume they're trying to control the slide of this price, right? I mean, it's down from $50 something down to, we're at 15, whatever. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just following the market though. So
sure. And I think in that they want to try to find bonded tokens, obviously, at least control
a Lambo yet. And the Lambo is in danger.
Your contributions to this conversation are not helpful.
They're probably not that incorrect though.
I just don't, it's a weird, I've never seen anything like this. And I don't know why it is if I wanted to increase the bonded token structure of a chain and build confidence and say this is something that I want to be able to hold and earn off of, is this the first lever that I pull? Like, it is really, is a 5% going to 4 or 3% commission going to have any real impact on people saying I believe in injective or I don't, and I want to hold on to this token or I don't? Like, I don't think that's the point.
Would probably be better if that was the goal, wouldn't it? Although, like, again, it's a thing that nobody really does via governance, because it's not like a built-in function of Cosmos SDK, so nobody can be bothered to implement it.
But so either way, the changing who the commission goes to doesn't change the fact that the tokens are still emitted and they're going somewhere. So whether the validator gets it or the staker gets it, like, you know, there's still
a mint,
still commission, it's still saleable, right? So I don't think it's designed to stop any kind of price slide. I think it's just a thing that someone decided to do, and they've gone, yeah, maybe to make a, you know, maybe it's to try and create a situation where some of the other validators can grab some more stake through offering rebates, like as a competition thing. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, the first one is attract stakers by offering rebates. So attract stakers.
Yeah, but then it's just if you can choose what the rebate is, then it's just a race to zero again.
Yeah.
And then you just get a slow transition of stakers from, you know, traditional staking across to the rebated staking, and then, you know, it's just a worse deal for validators again. They've already been reducing the commission over there steadily for a fairly, not commission, the inflation has been reduced steadily over time. I mean, there's some really weird fluctuations in the actual returns.
Yeah.
It's a little bit hard to explain, but, you know, for example, if the VP doesn't change on the chain at all and staking percentage for a validator stays the same, like the token emissions will change wildly over a couple of days by, like, you know, 20% for no apparent reason. So it's just, it's a little bit strange when you look in those metrics. But yeah, I don't know why they would do this other than to try and give an advantage.
Well, maybe you can share more when you hear, because the one thing that actually, I mean, whatever. I think if you want to try to reduce commissions and be able to attract stakers, then change the mint, remove the percentage disc, like the percentage, and just do a race to a bottom if you want to do that. The one comment here that really kind of which rubs me in the wrong way, which is demonstrate your commitment to the injective network by basically reducing, like by doing this commission.
Well, I mean, that might as well say buy a commitment to the network. Like,
it's, yeah, like that's just like that. That is, to your point, whether it goes to the Val or whether it goes to the staker, that percentage is being minted, and a portion of that will be held, a portion of that will be sold, right? No matter what.
Yeah, like it's going to someone. People have this big, you know, misconception that validators are like, you know, the drains on the chain, when it's stakers is who sell the most. And, you know, validators make 5% of the commission, 95% of it goes out there.
Yeah.
So
that's the return. That's the reason that they do it. Yeah. But that idea, like demonstrating your commitment, is just fucking, that is just,
again, I don't know what they mean.
Everybody's running hardware and they're on pager duty 24 hours a day.
That's like, nasty like, text.
It's kind of sucks. It kind of sucks, doesn't it? Because like, look, you can,
I don't know why for a staker it's so attractive to go from a 95% return to a 96% return. Like, I don't know why.
People don't fucking understand maths.
But I don't even know if it is. The top valves on injective that have a decent amount of stakers are at 7, 10, 5, 10, 5, 5%. That's the first six. So out of the top five, more of them have 10, more of them have double, like either 10 or 7% than they do the minimum, right? So like,
Binance is all self-stake anyway.
True.
But they're 10%. I don't know.
I'm sure there's individual stakers. I'm going to go get the numbers in terms of number of delegates. But people pick the number one.
Everstake is like institutional stakers.
Not everybody who's on there, right? Not everybody.
But most of them would be through their institutional staking thing. Same with Killen. They've got a lot of
twin stake,
institutional
8%, four bolt 9.5, chorus 1 7.5. I mean, there's a mix of
four bolt still going, huh?
Still going, yeah.
Still going.
Still rocking. White whales on here, like they do 10%. My point is Dora factors in there 100% because they bring it all back. But based on this VP percentages, there's no rhyme or reason to how that how those commissions are in there, right? So it's just that demonstrate commitment is just like, it's, that's nasty language, man. That's disgusting language, if you ask me. It doesn't help that perception. Like, that is, it's an incorrect perception. It's an incorrect way of thinking about this. And
the thing is, at the end of the day, validators run the infrastructure that makes the party happen, right? You could,
yeah, I mean, we're clearly dedicated to the chain. So
you can have beef with a number of things, right? You can have beef with an individual validator. You can have beef with a group of validators. You can have some idea, some upset about who the validators are, or some idea that maybe they're making too much money. All of those things, I would encourage you to become a developer, build and release your own blockchain, or go to governance, right? And the reason these things are in place the way they are is incentives, because this is at the end of it a low trust system, and the incentives have to be structured the way they are in order to try and make the party happen. Now, the incentives don't even really work that well, and that's even they work a little bit better on higher market cap chains where validators make enough money to care, to not get arsy about the fact that we have, you know, depending on who's on pager duty that day, everybody who works for a validator company at some point has an important family event, life event ruined, interrupted, fucked up by random shit chains. You just hope that when the thing totally destroys some important thing that's happening to you, that it's at least one of the super high economic value ones, and you're just like, well, this is really important to the business, rather than why do you have to literally just fuck up all this stuff? Oh, because some shit chain went down. But yeah, you know, demonstrate commitment. That's fine. You know, like sacking off your anniversary or some bullshit. Yeah, demonstrate commitment. I know it comes off as like a super entitled validator complaining stuff, but it is.
It does.
Just like,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
I know. Like, but it's also just like, well, look, you know, this is a low trust system. When you say demonstrate commitment, all you're saying is like, okay, you're saying the quiet bit out loud, and you're saying we don't trust our validator set, which is fucking stupid in a low trust system, because the whole point is you're supposed to say that you do trust your validator set.
Yeah.
Because that's game theory.
I don't think they mean any of that.
Yeah, they probably don't. I think that's reading too much into it.
I think all that happened is someone brain farted that out, and now it's out there. So, you know, fucking giving a discount.
They just spun the wheel, you know, of marketing ideas in a bear market. They just like spun it, and it was like rebate. Okay.
Oh, that'll do it.
That'll do it. That'll get everything back on track.
It's not off track. It's maybe it's just trying to give the general validator access to the same sort of, you know, tools that institutional stakers get. I don't know what the motivation is behind it. It's not well communicated in that regard. They're obviously trying to do something, but I mean, there's teams, man. They do stuff. Who cares? You just move on with it. I'm not going to get bent out of shape about it.
Not bent. Just saying it is a little bit of a precedent, and it's. And I'm just reading the words on the page. Demonstrate your commitment by giving this discount. So,
yeah, man, meaning aside,
I'm just reading what's on there. I'm not twisting it any. I'm not twisting it any sort of way. It says demonstrate your commitment by giving this rebate. That's all it says. So, like, I'm not trying to twist it into something that it doesn't say. I'm just reading what the hell is written.
Yeah, I don't think it. You know, I think the interpretation of the words on the page are, you know, just. You could take that in any number of ways and
demonstrate your commitment is taking what? All right. I understand you're in the bow set too. So it's difficult to be able to just take a shit on it.
It's marketing words, right? Like the phrase says, someone's on the wheel and put some words on there. Demonstrating commitment to me is just like, someone's like, well, you gotta be committed. So give a rebate. Like
it reminds me, right. I once worked for this startup, and to be fair, CEO, like this story isn't, whatever, man. Like, the CEO was actually very good at his job, but one day he got everybody into the meeting room and played what's that American sports movie with the The Longest Yard? The Longest Yard.
Okay.
There's like the motivational speech bit in that film. It was like that, you know, life is made up of inches, you know, it was that. And you're just like most of the people in this room are like the post-sales support people and the devs. Like, we're not the audience. Maybe the sales team would go for this. We're like not the audience to be like, together we can build, together we can be remembered. And it's just like, dude, we've actually got like some quite tight deadlines. Can we just go back out there and just like keep cracking on,
make the blocks move?
Yeah, but it reminds me a little bit of that, where somebody's like got this really intense energy and you're like, cool, I mean, I probably won't do that, but I will continue doing my job, which I was doing before, and I will be doing after we're done with this interruption to me doing my job.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. What else?
You see this base thing?
What base thing?
AI paying AI for AI.
Oh.
It's kind of like the most ambitious crossover in movie history. It's like the shitcoin hype and AI hype. They get AIs to make USDC accounts on Base and then pay each other for the outputs of shitty LLMs. So the AIs are just circle jerking each other off now with fucking USDC. It's like, this is what we've been building, isn't it, fellas? Like, this was the point. This was the point we wanted to get to. AI is paying.
This was the end game.
Yeah, this was the end game. We're there. We've arrived. We sorted it. Like, I don't know. Like, I both hate this and I love it, and I find it really funny. And I'm like, it's actually sort of kind of vaguely interesting. Like, I like the idea of being like, okay, AI model, go and book me a train ticket. Like, it requires the AI to go and make a payment. Now, I'm not going to make an AI do that for me, because I don't mind spending 2 minutes to go and book my actual train ticket and check it's correct. And I don't trust the AI to not fuck it up. But if you're lazy, you soon be able to do that and then get to the station and find the AI has booked you a fucking bus or a coach or something, and you're going to be on it for 24 hours instead of taking the 1 hour train to your destination. And, you know, they'll be like, fucking smashed it, Coinbase. Absolutely love it. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be really funny. It's like a whole other axis of fuck ups that could happen in everyday life. It's going to be, it's going to be lovely. I'm looking forward to it already.
But it'll learn. It'll be better.
It'll learn.
We'll get there. And it'll make,
we'll get there.
We just a lot of stuff.
Do you know what? Like, we've got to this point where we've done a great job at fucking up the economy. So what we should do is automate these AIs to take what we've done and make it more aggressively and rapidly fucked up. That's what we want to do. It's gonna be magic. Love it. Yeah. So yeah, I'm kind of, but is it possible to be both bullish and bearish at the same time? Like, love and hate it. This is like the ultimate salt and sweet. This is like earlier this week when somebody forced me to eat via peer pressure, eat some fucking pineapple pizza. What's it called? Hawaiian pizza. And I was just like, I hate it. I hate it, but it's still pizza, but I hate it. And I love pizza, but I hate this. That's how I feel about this article. I'm like, I love pizza, but I hate this. But I love pizza. AIs.
AI financial concierge. Personal AI assistants that not only recommend services, but also handles payments, booking, and planning.
Do you see what I mean? It's like, you're sort of like, your brain is like, yeah, I can kind of sort of see it, but what the fuck? That's how I feel. I love the way they're just like, oh yeah, and soon you'll have checkout with AI. And hey, here's the API docs. And you're like, steady, like, will down. steady, pipe down, piglet, as they sometimes say in the north of England.
So the agent needs a wallet. Oh, because it pulls out of that wallet.
And as luck would have it, usurper, the wallet can be on Base.
Hey, is it on Coinbase?
And use USDC. We're in you know, that the beginning of Layer Cake, when they have the hippies talking in prison to the drug dealer, no, the bank robbers. And the bank robbers are like, wait a minute, we're in the wrong fucking business, mate. That's this moment. It's like, wait a minute, if you launch a shit chain and put USDC on it, you can make not millions, but billions.
Okay? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, but I hate it.
Effortlessly handle millions of transactions. Could you imagine?
Oh dear, it's bad, isn't it? But hey, yeah, it's kind of a cool news story. I mean, it's kind of dumb, but like, whatever, man. Like, you can have the AI just go and create much more, many more transactions for Chainalysis to index to you know, learn more about your whatever your kinky spending was, Null, the network boxes you want. You could just automate that shit.
Yeah, you can have AI go and figure out your little SPF issue.
Exactly. It's a brave new world.
Have the AI say, dude, has nothing to do with full or half duplex, dude.
That's not how it works.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Good to see people still get suckered into airdrops, though.
I feel like Null's just, we're having one conversation and Null is somewhere else. What airdrop? What?
Oh, I was just looking around on this fucking...
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the AI wallet that we need.
Yeah,
just pure airdrop harvesting.
To be honest, actually, an AI harvesting shitty airdrops and just immediately dumping them, that would be good. I'd be into that.
Build a little model around it.
Yeah, just
know
like
exactly fucking, when to pull the rug.
I still get the odd fucking email where there's just like, you know, when people like go through GitHub repos and they're like, oh, you've contributed to some bullshit and so you are eligible for this bullshit. And I'm just like, I'm not going to claim for, like, you know, he's like, you're eligible for 4 shitcoins on the new shitcoin chain. And you're like, okay, thank you, but
thanks.
Like, the tax burden on that is the tax hassle on the, like, to do the paperwork ain't worth the 4 shitcoins, whatever it is. Cool, but thank you. But if an AI could do it, well, I didn't have to do shit. That's different. Yeah, so anyway, when are we starting this startup?
Yeah, when
AI. AI airdrops 1. The branding's already nearly done.
What's the tax implication on providing injective chain rebates?
Yeah, good question.
Good fucking point.
Because you have that's revenue you'd have to pull in, and then you literally would have to treat them as a vendor.
Depends on how you do your tax. It took 53 minutes. I got to bounce, guys.
That's taxes.
I gotta go. I got shit to do. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Peace.
It's kind of like the Genesis album, and then there were three.
I know. Except next week it's gonna be tight. Next couple weeks, because I know both babies arriving and still making their mark in this world is gonna make some challenging attendance situations.
Hey, all I'm saying, I'm pretty sure I missed one. That's all I'm saying. people doubt my commitment to the cause. Like, no, Injective aren't sending me a letter saying we doubt your commitment to the cosmos. Like, I may not be the most relentlessly positive member of this ecosystem, but I am a consistent. I do consistently fucking turn. Do you know what, actually, though? The consistently turning up to lose money at the moment is, I think we're gonna have to replatform again. Or maybe just finally shoot the dog on Juno.
Oh yeah, shoot the dog on Juno.
Because it's like, I mean, the actual bare metal for the Cosmos chains are still running, ain't so much. But you know, the external signer rig and everything, like, because it's across multiple vendors and they're not necessarily cheap, and the hardware is not necessarily cheap.
Yeah.
We're essentially paying $1,000 a month for the external signers and the redundancy. For like what we're down to from a peak of whatever seven, we're down to like two Cosmos chains now.
Yeah, get rid of that shit.
And it's just like, I don't know. I think it might be time to take Stargaze and Juno out behind the barn.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking great right now.
No.
Oh, Juno.
Which does segue into a news story.
It does. Oh, it does. Yeah.
As Atom's price hits a four-year low at $3.80, the community decides now would be a good time to start up a discussion around an Atom and Osmo merger acquisition, sparking joy amongst the community with another delightful governance discussion ensuing. Though neither of us validate the hub, right? So
no,
I actually wasn't aware of this. This is the first I've heard of it, and I remember this discussion in like
a while ago. Yeah,
yeah. It was the whole Osmo is the real hub thing, right? Mm-hmm. But now Cosmos has got now the hub's got Cosmos, and they figure, well, we're basically feature compatible, so yeah, let's fuck Osmosis up by introducing the overhead of ICS, right?
Yeah, basically. So now the Cosmos ecosystem is going to be basically the hub with smart contracts built on top.
Yeah,
for every other piece.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like that meme about like, what if every app chain just ran on the Cosmos hub as a smart contract, and we just gave up on the Cosmos ecosystem? Except, like, not a joke. That's kind of what they're trying to do here.
Yeah, I didn't see Adam hit that low. I was just looking because it seemed, I didn't think it was underneath $4. That's pretty crazy. But I guess it was a little. Oh, I see it did a little dip back a couple nights ago. Yeah, $3.93. I see. Wow.
And Rama says it's over. Is that the discussion or the vote or the which part of it?
I think that was just more in general. It's over.
Oh right, it's over. Is it over? Well, nothing's forever, dude. You know, it's fine.
Oh man,
like.
Maybe they should start sponsoring validator rebates. Let's get this show back on the road.
I mean, do you know what? It's sad. Like last year, obviously, I was like, I'm not going to Cosmoverse because even though it was kind of doable, because small human, it just wasn't possible. But I was like, because it was in, I think it was in Istanbul, right? And
this last year, or was that Dubai?
Yeah, last year was Cosmoverse in Istanbul, or did I fucking hallucinate that?
I don't know. I can never remember where they moved around. A couple years. No, it was in South America a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It was in Medellin, wasn't it? That was the one I didn't go to.
Yeah.
But then I think last year it was in Istanbul, and I was like, oh, that sounds actually like good crack. I mean, I know like Turkey got its problems at the moment, but I used to go to Antalya when I was a kid on holiday, so I have a lot of time for the Turkish people. They're very, very nice. Mm-hmm. But then it was a bit like, yeah, small human, can't do it. scheduling, blah, blah, blah. But this year, I didn't even like, I got the message and I was like, what are they going to say? Like, no, I mean, that was my thought. That was actually my thought. I was like, honest to God, the first thing that came to my head was like, what are they going to say? Like, what are they going to get on stage and say? Like, we're smashing it, lads.
Just imagine like Stixito sitting around the table trying to come up with four days worth of content. Like, all right, so we could do another boxing thing. We can't do another boxing thing. We could do 2 days of boxing.
Yeah.
Maybe we do a ninja course or fuck.
It's in Dubai. Can you drink in Dubai? Is that even possible?
You can drink in Dubai. Yeah.
You can drink in Dubai?
You can drink in Dubai.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, that would be, I agree.
What you can at least have a beer then.
What are they going to say?
Look, for once, I'm not even trolling. That's just, I read the email and I was like, what are they going to say? What is there to say about the state of Cosmos right now from a stage with loads of people in the audience? Whether there will even be loads of people in the audience, I don't know. Maybe it'll be an empty room, which would be even fucking set. That would actually be the worst thing, right?
Most of these things are now empty rooms because
If you went, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and then you go, and then there's fucking nobody there. That would be bad.
That would be bad.
Because it's not like, you know, I went to a conference a few weeks ago, right, in Scotland, right? And it was the first Scottish crypto conference, I think, like industry thing. And it was quite quiet because it was like first one. It was reasonably well attended for a first, you know, event, whatever. The organizers did the best, and it was well done within the context of what you could get away with, right?
Yeah.
But like, there's a big difference between going to a first event, number one, and one that's, you know, you can wake up in the morning, have a coffee, have your breakfast, go across the country there, like pretty easily, work on the train, get off at the other end, go to the fucking thing, stay a night, head home. And like, imagine going all the way to Dubai and it's an empty fucking room, like dead empty. Yeah,
right.
You'd be like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Although I think Token will be pretty well.
You reckon Token will be busy?
Yeah, I think it'll be busy. I think it'll be busy.
Where is it? Is it Singapore, Hong Kong?
It's in Singapore.
It's in Singapore. Probably just as well.
Yeah. I canceled this because I don't know. It's just the timing wasn't right. It's a big expense and a lot of time. So
it's a lot of time and it's quite a bit of money. The money really adds up. Like from doing these conferences.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Not too much if you want to sponsor something or do anything else, and you're really getting into some dollars. So yeah, I might try to make it permissionless though. So I think there's
permissionless.
It's in Salt Lake, the middle second week of October, I think it is. Something like that. 11th, 15th. No,
it's domestic for you as well. So like
Yeah, it would be good. So I think I'm gonna try to. I'm not gonna make a big deal out of it, but I think there's some things I like to see and some folks I like to be able to hang out with. So we'll see if it happens.
Yeah, I think the one I actually missed because I was on my summer holidays, but I would have probably otherwise gone to was as much as I fucking am not interested in ETH, the ETH CC that was in Brussels. Just like literally, my other half used to live there for a while, so like I have friends that are there, like. I would literally probably have taken my bike on the train and just made a long weekend of it and just been like, go to a full day of stuff, go to some good breweries. If it all gets a bit too crypto energy, just take my bike. Yeah. I know some routes outside the city, just like head off for a morning, get completely soaked because the weather there is dreadful.
Yeah.
But then get back to the city in the afternoon, have some frites, have a beer and be like, right, I'll go to an evening network event. Let's ease ourselves back into some crypto nonsense. Yeah. Like, that would have been a cracking event. I thought that I was a bit sad to have missed that because I thought that would have had big lots of frites, lots of good beer. Hopefully, nobody trying to sell me house NFTs. That seems to happen every conference. you know, like when you're at a conference and you just stop and you look for a second, like you don't know where you're going to be next, and somebody just latches onto you immediately.
Yeah.
I swear, every crypto conference, it's somebody trying to convince me about property NFTs. Even at that fucking Chainlink one, like I lost Artifact and you at one of the side events.
It's Archon? Yeah.
And somebody literally was just like, hey man, from behind me. I'm like, poof. I was just like, just trying to work out. It's like, are they gone to the bar or they went, hey man, like, and they're just like, I was like, oh, hey buddy, what do you do? What are you working on? It's like, well, yeah, we're just getting this property NFT project off the board. I was like, fucking every time, man. Every time. There's always property NFTs.
There's always an RWA hanging around.
Yeah. I'm like, there are some real world assets that do actually genuinely make sense, and this ain't one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. And ETC, I've always heard like really good conversations coming out of that too, because I think it's a little bit less marketing based than you have. It's not like consensus and things like that, where it's just, you know, these giant booths and all that stupid shit. And I think it's much more of a, maybe I think you might have better conversations there, which I'm all about, like, because there's other things. Yeah. Like, you gotta, you know, back to that kissing thousand frogs. Like, you meet a lot of people, but there's only a few that you just happen to run into. You're like, oh, that was really great. But it'd be nice to be able to increase that hit ratio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the other things I've kind of realized from, I don't know why I'm such a fucking idiot. My brain is so broken that it took me doing a research paper to actually have this thought, but whatever, that's how it's ended up shaking out, is that I think the future direction of where we're going to be going, what we're going to be doing in the next few years, is just going much more heavily back on the engineering side of things and like in this space. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know if that like is going to result in growing the team anytime soon or anything like that, whether I'm gonna have to pick up the lion's share of it, and you know, maybe we'll get paid in validating, right? So, you know, maybe we're not gonna be fully out of the validator game as our main source of income, right? But I do know that I think we're gonna have a better hit rate of useful conversations if we go to things like ECC, where it's primarily technical folks.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe technical folks are wrong, because that's not exactly the audience. But like you said, it's like less about marketing a product to people from foundations. It's more about having conversations and networking, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's that's the thing that's, I think the research has kind of clarified for me, is like I do believe there are use cases in here, and I don't believe the technology we have is necessarily fit for those use cases yet, but we're also not going to get there by sitting on our fucking hands. So it's like, you know, what are the quicker paths from A to B? What are the paths from A to B, number one, that we can even like conceive of, and of those, which are the least bad, right?
Yeah. I thought it was 1,000 monkeys rugging 1,000,000 people until like one use case worked.
Something like that. Isn't that a Shakespeare quote or something?
I think it is.
the little tiny car, the little tiny monkey in the car, right? Something
it's
like
a,
that.
It's 1,000 AI bots rugging millions of people.
Thing, right? The AI bots will learn that rugging is can you imagine, like, you're like, AI bot, go away and make me some money, and they go rug somebody?
That'd be awesome.
Imagine the amazing absolute scenes. They're like, they just go and do like a spear phishing scam.
Or maybe they work together. So like one AI bot, it's just like coordinated AI Ponzi's, where like one AI bot invests, and then it tells the other ones, hey, go invest in this. And the first one pulls out.
Run the price up. Yeah.
And you run the price up, and then you just pull it out. And then, yeah, it's like that.
It's kind of like that. Was it in Peanuts where... Yeah, it's Peanuts, isn't it? With the football, where they just bend down behind the football and push him over and over again.
I was like,
that's what the AI bots. As soon as there's two of them, they got you.
Like, I don't think there was a Charles Schulz Peanuts around AI bot rugging. Probably, you know.
And you could probably get an AI to make you a fake Peanuts comic about AI rugging,
holding the football for another. It's an AI bot holding a football.
Yeah, AI bot. To be fair, moving the football in the Peanuts comic is the original rug pull.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. He kept going back for it.
He kept going. Oh, he did keep going back for $ ball token. And he just kept committing everything he had to it, and then kept
going. It's going
to
go up this time. All right. I'll put another
it's
going to
go up
in.
This time. It's going to get another 1,000. Okay, cool.
All right. Just one more 1,000.
You can tell yourself that, bro. It's going to be all right.
Somebody else just cashed out 2,000. All right, I'll put 1,000.
Oh. Oh. To be fair, Rama has actually reminded me that Penumbra exists, and that is cool. So
yeah, he's to be fair, he said, and then he'll create a wallet in Penumbra, and your money is theirs now, which is cool.
Look, privacy is a double-edged sword. Okay, right. You know, and you know, Rama, I would say that the idea that privacy and criminality are one and the same is very negative stereotype, primarily used by big tech and governments to reduce your personal freedoms and privacy. So, you know, man, whatever, like, you know, maybe you should like think before you speak, man, about like eroding your own personal rights and stuff, dude, bro. The AI will use private money. Yes, the AI will use private money. No. My research group will get totally organized and we'll have something production ready in like 20 years. It's gonna be fun.
I can't wait.
Oh dear. That's the problem as well. You know, when you like you've been a professional for quite a while, right? And you have standards, and you always see that everything will go wrong eventually, right? Like it has to go wrong because everything always does, and you always end up having to rebuild everything you've ever done. And so it's really difficult to be like at the point of career where I am, certainly, I don't know about you, and talk to people about new emerging tech, because quite often, especially like what I do now, I'm kind of selling it like on some level, because I'm either networking or I'm doing something where somebody might, by a step of remove, introduce me to somebody that will make us money as a business, right? And the problem is I always keep doing the fucking stupid caveats. Somebody will be like, oh, that sounds like a really good use case. And you're like, yeah, well, it's not really there yet, but like we'll iterate towards something useful, you know? And they're like, right. Oh, right, what would be an example of that? And you're like, well, we're not there yet.
I just told you that.
And like the light goes out of their eyes. And it's like, oh, fuck, no, I should have just been like, yeah, man, like AI wallets, yeah, like on Coinbase or something. Like that would be sick, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Now kick the football. Like the,
yeah, it's inside. I just need to like just not say the thought. I don't know. It's like intrusive thoughts, isn't it?
But just invest and kick the football. Just come on.
Yeah. So, like, to be fair, people ask that about the research projects and stuff that we're doing in the department that's like hands-on. They're like, hey, is this gonna solve this problem and that problem and that and the other? And it's like, and I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, we're building a production ready system, but like, you know, it's going to have flaws like every system.
No.
This isn't like, you know, this isn't like the Garden of Eden. And they're just like, oh, okay, well, I mean, fuck it. Like, you know, I guess we don't give a shit then. And you're like, no, we will be good. Like, you know, you should be interested. I've lost the room. I need to be this will make you rich. But wait, it's just cash. It's just small denomination, private cash. How am I going to get rich from that? It's like, no, it's going to make you rich. You just don't see it yet. You don't see it yet. That's fine. You're early. God, imagine if we took all of the shit, high pressure marketing bullshit that we've seen in crypto and start to use it in the real world. We would be unstoppable. We'd be monsters. Be kings.
Kings. Yeah, kings.
Would be it would be less the guy trying to sell the car that could do 200 hectares of a single tank of kerosene and more, what was it called when Elon Musk reinvented the train? What was that called?
Oh, you mean the tunnels, or he built the hyperloop thing? Oh yeah, the monorail. Yeah.
Monorail. Yes, exactly. That was the Simpsons thing I was going for. Fucking monorail. Like literally, mono from the Greek meaning one, and rail from the Greek meaning rail. I tell you what. Do you know what was a delight in my transcriptions was the number of times people who were interviewed just said things like shitcoin, just
really?
Unironically, just straight into the mic
without prompting. Like they just said the word shitcoin.
Shitcoin or shit chain. And you know, this is like the best bit is like obviously in an aggregated truncated form, right? Yeah. some of the portion of the transcripts that get used in the paper or cited directly will end up they won't be published with the paper because that's not how it works, but they will be available for another academic to say prove that this was said. And then they could look at the archive, right? If they're at the institute, our institution, they can ask to gain access to our research outputs. I would guess that as part of like proving my PhD as well, I think that review process, somebody would probably have to double check the research hasn't been visibly and obviously falsified. But it means that like at some point, somebody who is a, what I would call a serious academic, not like a degenerate like me, is going to look at something and be like, I read some of these transcripts where somebody is just like, well, you know, sometimes with these shit chains, you know how it is. They, you know, it's kind of in the name. They're shit in a chain, or whatever it is the quote is. And they're just going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
Does that mean you have to, do you have to include a definition of what that means?
Oh, fuck. You know what? I didn't.
You might have to, right?
At no point in any of those interviews did I even push for anybody to say, hey, by the way,
you've used shit chain for me.
You've used this term shit chain. There's at least a couple of times as well where I prompted somebody to be like, oh, from your last statement, it seems like there's maybe a tension between something and something. And there's at least a couple of times where people were just like, yeah, fucking horseshit or something like that. Just like, oh yeah, it's just total fucking horseshit. Like there was, I think one of them was like a question about marketing. It's like, oh, would you say that that's like more of a marketing thing than a real technical reality? And I think they just replied with like, yeah, it's total fucking horse shit. Just like, and the best bit was that there's like at least one of them where it said in the context of two things either side that I'm actually going to need to cite. So I'm basically going to have to do the thing where, you know, where you put an ellipsis to indicate that you've truncated a quote.
Yeah.
Because, and the ellipsis will just be like whatever it was, horseshit or something. It's just like one word that I've truncated out. So again, if an academic is like, I wonder if other interesting things were said in that quote, I'll go and ask the Future of Money team if I can get access to that transcript. And then they just see like blah 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 blah, horseshit, blah blah blah. They're just like
shitcoin.
That's good. Or maybe ever look at this stuff and I will be the only one that ever knows. But
that's right.
It entertaining as fuck.
But somewhere it will be in a paper, and that paper will have, like, you. It's entering those terminologies, like, into this academic lexicon of like what a shit chain is. That's
going to shoehorn in the word shit chain.
It should be in there, and shitcoin.
Oh yeah, yeah,
should be in there. Yeah, for sure.
I am gonna absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just like swearing for no reason, I probably will avoid for the purposes of looking like I am a serious person.
It's fun though. It's not you. I mean. Not that we didn't create it, but like it's within the research. So it's,
I want to get the word, you know, but have you ever read, Ethan Buchman, like Bucky's, master's thesis on it's the definition of like, the Tendermint protocol, basically.
Okay.
It's the one that it's the one that starts with the Scarface quote. It's, I've talked about this before because I think it's really funny, like legitimately, like some of the stuff that Bucky's done is a bit cringe, but this is very funny. The paper starts with an acknowledgement section that says something like, I learned early in life from Tony Montana that a man has two things, his word and his balls, and he break them for nobody. And I was like, do you know what? I want to read the rest of this paper now. So, you know, I'm in.
All right, I'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah. In the spirit of that, I would love to get the word shit chain in an actual academic published paper. That is my goal. So I'm going to give it a go. I really hope that, I remember that it was used in a couple of the interviews, and I hope that there's a quote that is useful in the context of the research. That means I can quote the whole thing with the shit chain. That would be amazing. I love that. That's probably why I'm in such a fucking good mood this week compared to like normal. Like there's like an outside chance I'm going to get to use the word shit chain in an academic publication. Like what a glorious future we live in. What a time to
brick
be alive.
Brick by brick, baby. You're building it brick by brick.
Yeah, man, what a time to be alive. You're just like, oh, what do you do? I'm studying, researching, you know, consensus systems. What's your biggest contribution to the field? I gave a comprehensive definition of the word shit chain.
Shit chain. Agreed upon comprehensive definition.
I'm the shit chain guy. Oh, you're the shit chain guy. Yeah, yeah, I gave the keynote of the thing about the shit chain. Yeah, I'm the fucking shit chain guy. Chain, you ask this guy, he knows. I can't forget about that. That's my legacy, right?
It's awesome.
I mean, that would be a pretty fucking cool legacy, actually, to be fair.
It's so, not bad. One brick in.
You know, also extra respect in the chat. I noticed that Rama said that they picked up picked up a bug bounty on Kuji.
Yeah, I think for the he did. That's great because he was doing a ton of research on that and all the work that came in through his Medium post, which I can put a link to as well because we should have before. I don't know if we did.
I love the way the show notes are currently say like Rama's bug bounty, Ethan's mm-hmm. balls.
I did write Ethan's balls. This is a note to myself. I guess it's
a good summary. It's a good summary of what's happened.
Good summary.
Rama's bug bounty and Ethan's balls.
Ethan's balls and shit chains.
So I've just noticed Lil D has posted like a mini essay, and the comments are very small in the YouTube player thing. Literally, my poor eyesight after a day of trying to knock this paper into shape for a Friday deadline. I literally can't fucking read it. Okay, so anyway, we can blow it up. Not to be Nietzsche, but freedom has been reduced, minorized to the discourse of rights, pronounced or protected by the state. But the first and final experience of freedom is dissimulation, the lie.
Keep going.
The privacy of the lie and freedom are indissoluble. That's why slaves can imagine themselves freer than their masters. And it's why freedom is not necessarily a meaningful lodestar for politics. I mean, that's a view. I think it's quite a nihilistic one.
Sounds exhausting.
I mean, I'm a recovering postmodernist, so... I mean, I don't disagree with it, but actually, I'm not sure you're a recovering postmodernist if you're still a hyper relativist, but whatever. That's what happens when you do a humanity degree. Friends don't let friends do humanity degrees because you end up just cleverer than everybody else, don't you, baby? Anyway, I think Funky's got the definition down though. Look at that. I thought shit coins go on shit chains.
I don't think so.
Touchdown, the crowd goes wild. No,
I don't think so though. There are
present your counter thesis, usurper.
I think there are Venn diagrams where they don't entirely overlap. I think there's shit coins on good chains.
Okay, right, because you could have like a CW20 or an ERC20, right?
Not only just that, but I think there's shit chain to me means, well, see, this is where your definition, I don't have to wait for it, but
right, I'll go to the ethics board. We're doing another research project. Frey, are you ever going to write any software? Like, I thought the whole point is you're an engineer. Yeah, but somebody pointed out we didn't define shit chains, and we've got to do a paper. It's going to take 6 months. We're not going to write any code during this time. We got to interview more people. We've got to really get consensus on what a shit chain really is.
What it really
Usurper's is. Got one definition. Funky's got one definition.
It would be difficult, actually.
Who are these people you're talking about? You can't interview people you know.
I can't bring any examples to the table, but I think there are good chains that have, unfortunately, some really bad shit coins on them.
Yeah.
Natively.
What's a good chain with a shit coin?
Oh, I can't. I don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that.
What's the point of talking about this if we're not doing this, eh?
You have to pull that from your transcripts. That's what that is. You have to pull it from your transcripts. I can't think of it. Maybe we'll take it as a homework item. And the other, would there be good coins on shit chains? That would be another one too, because shit chain might not be just a financial aspect, it might be actual.
Well, they had Howl on Juno. That was a pretty great coin and a pretty bad chain.
There you go. There's like an example.
High value speculative asset. That was no, it was a utility token, of course, for legal purposes. No value. Certainly got no value now.
Certainly not.
That was a fun idea. I wish it had been launched on a chain that had more.
You had your chance. It would have just required a complete reworking of your life for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean,
I still think that idea has legs. Even now, even if it's a year later, year and a half later, I still think it'd be tough to rebuild, and it'd be tough to get it working on. To get to that critical mass. I don't know if you could actually build a social network with critical mass these days, but it would solve some issues.
I think the thing to do would be to rebuild it, the thing is people will, because like the reason that Twitter existed is because it's the most obvious way of doing a single shot broadcast, like broadcast based message dissemination on like a simple internet platform originally via mobile phone, right? That was the point. And how, you know, other than the staking mechanics, which like whatever, like it's an extra, like what's the meme? It's just blah, but with extra steps, like that, like it's not like big brain. But I kind of wonder if like the thing to do would be to like wait maybe like one generation of blockchains.
Yeah.
And then do it then. Because like you could implement it in Move on Aptos or something like that, where you've got the performance and you've got the low fees. And I think actually there's a number of things about the protocol that are better than your average proof of stake chain.
Sure.
But it still doesn't have the users. Although to be fair, there is going to be the OAuth stuff at some point, which would actually be a pretty good mechanism, because you could do semi blinded messages, which would be like, for all practical intents and purposes, it would be, you could do blinded messages for like
it would really
some scenarios which could be interesting. Like
that would be interesting, because you get rid of all that, just all that friction that I think that Hal had, right, with just transactions and like just that. At least it had a lot of steps, right? And that would be nice to get rid of. But I think the identity issue is really the problem to solve within social networks. I mean, that's really the issue. But now you could point this Coinbase AI at it.
I think the identity issue is actually better solved by something like the digital cash architecture, because cash is an identity problem as well. So I think what you do is you solve for digital cash and you make a identity provider where you can basically selectively reveal the minimum possible thing about really short-term life cycle, single-shot, self-contained state asset that only contains cryptographic proof of the thing that you've said, and you write the proof only to ephemeral storage, admittedly a relayer network. So the way you have a relayer network is you have like data dissemination among a network of nodes that still only have ephemeral storage.
Yeah.
And the proof that it was at some point in the tree is then persisted to a blockchain, but only that evidence is only meaningful if you have the combination of the relayer that relayed the data and you are the owner. So it's never actually, once it's recycled, it's gone. It can't be interacted with anymore. So there's a version of that where you can do the more privacy oriented stuff for actually like revealing a real identity, like here is my driving license and here is the number on it, right?
Yeah.
But then once you have that level of privacy, there's nothing to stop you saying like, I am going to use that plus an API, which
sure,
this would need a lot of work. You don't just wake up one morning and build this, granted. But once you have that proof of identity, you can build an API that interacts with it to say like, okay, well, given that I am prepared to say in this other context, I will sign a message. Using some public key, or
even anonymously, right? Like you could even do it in a way to be like, right?
There are a whole bunch of ways that you could interact in that way. But I think, I think solving digital cash and solving identity are like, they're pretty important things. I don't necessarily think that the best architectures are going to be like widely deployed and accessible anytime soon, because there's so many steps involved in making them work,
right?
And like the network effects of actually even onboarding people is super complicated to like even get users to care about it. So I think that's the point where you're right. You build the thing, like you build a version of like the broadcast mechanism as a reason to onboard users into the ID system. And it's like the first use case or whatever.
Well, first to get there, you got to work backwards to digital cash structure. You got to work backwards to this PhD. You got to work backwards to defining the, you know, what a shit chain is.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why that's what I'll be doing first thing when I get up tomorrow morning. Writing a new ethics application. The Cosmos ecosystem, a classification of shit chains.